You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Leslie Smith. Leslie, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Leslie, we're going to talk about your show, Gentle Thoughts, of course, at Chart Gallery. And for the listeners, you know, it's running, of course, up through the 20th of December of this year. Yeah, let's jump right into this. Gentle Thoughts. I like the title of it because it seems deceptive, right? I mean, they're not so gentle, right? Or are they? Can you talk about the derivation of that title?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting place to start when I was thinking about titling the show. And so from one angle, it's the type of permission that I've tried to afford myself in the last 2 years. You give myself the time and the space to have gentle thoughts versus consistently combating the thoughts, the anxieties, the challenges that are often the results of you know, how we're perceived, you know, how I feel like I'm being perceived, or how I'm navigating cultural spaces, cultural expectations, both here in the Midwest, but, you know, a myriad of communities and things of the sort. And so I find that Gentle Thoughts became a place to seek refuge. But as a product of thinking in that way, created a space to really challenge some of the things that preempted the idea of what a gentle thought was to begin with. And so therein lies that kind of, you know, double-sided coin, that are they really gentle thoughts, or are the ideas that have gone into making this space or creating this space for introspection where the gentle, you know, part is, and then there's much work to be done.
And to get into that, that's you know, that's really interesting, right? I mean, we're living in a pretty fraught time in a number of ways, but you're talking, it sounds, not about politics specifically, although you may be, but about the way you're integrated with society, how you're perceived, your presentation. Is that correct?
Yes. Social, political, and cultural. I think all these things, although at times are separate, they do converge at times when we think about identity, we think about, you know, how we navigate and exist, you know?
And this is never an easy subject, right? Especially for person of color is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think there are challenges. I mean, I think for me, this show has been a way of looking a bit more inward than outward, relating to how I manifest some of these ideas, some of these sentiments, how I dwell with these challenges, instead of thinking about these things at a much larger community level. And I found that I've been able to do more and get more out of the work, out of the paintings, and, you know, localizing this more as something that's very specific to me, because although there are, you know, very diasporic, you know, levels of engagement around these topics, it, so many of the uniquenesses of, or so much of what makes it unique, is our own individual sensibilities. And so I'm kind of navigating that space more so as it pertains to how these paintings got generated. And so it became less about thinking about, oh, well, how does Black masculinity exist at large? What are the challenges that face Black masculinity, let's say, in, you know, our current time? And became more about what do I feel like is most challenging? You know, what's my unique perspective on this? How and why do I feel the way that I feel, right? And more importantly, how do I afford myself the permission to navigate in and out of these spaces in ways that don't cause me the type of harm that historically it has? And then just to top it off, is it even possible to create an abstraction that affords an opportunity for whomever that engages that work to understand the complexity of it, understand that there's no direct resolve, and to offer the time to think, the time to be present.
Yeah, that certainly is, so central to a practice, right? A being. I mean, whether it's teaching or making art, that's all part of that picture, right?
Oh, for sure.
And so to jump right into some of these works that are, of course, reflecting that ancestral meeting seems very specific. These seem like they have, or could, you know, as I read the titles and I look at these images, we'll talk about how you're building these too, but the ancestral meeting seems like it also is about a conversation or something very, very specific. Is it referencing something specific or no?
It's referencing a specific thought of mine. Each of the paintings more or less reference a passing thought, a fleeting idea that I guess narratively became central to many of the concepts I've worked, you know, in I guess the last decade or so. And the idea, as I was examining notions of identity, was to think about, you know, identity as not being something that is singular or solidified or solid, that it's always in flux, it's always codependent on many different aspects. And when I started thinking along those lines, the thought that came to mind was like, well, what if I thought about identity as something as abstract as an ancestral meeting, a consistent meeting of ancestors, you know, that make us who we are individually, right? And what would that look like? And what type of vibe, more or less, would need to exist aesthetically in order to capture that relatively abstract idea, you know? Are these orbs? Are these beings, painterly gestures? Within the vernacular of abstraction, is there a way to even try to communicate an idea that they're in a shared space, coalescing and, you know, interacting with each other? And so compositionally, the painting is trying to support that type of trajectory for the work. And conceptually, it's very much about this idea of things being, you know, greater than the sum of their parts, and is I guess, being a way of understanding one's identity.
I like that. Yeah. So that is issues of community again, right? We're not to be too literal, but we are talking about a meeting here, a community as a way of contextualizing yourself within it.
Yes. You know, it's trying to speak to the notion of multifaceted, you know, sensibilities. You know, that trying to exist within the gray, that things aren't so, you know, black or white, that there's so many variants in how we should understand each other, and that if we take an approach like that, we might, you know, be able to dive deeper and go further in understanding and giving ourselves the grace that's needed in order to protect ourselves in so many words.
Yeah, no, but so good. Yeah, so true. Yeah, that really kind of means a lot to me. And to talk about this, how you're building these, to talk specifically about ancestral meetings, it's a really interesting process you have here that feels both sculptural and of course, painting. But can you tell me a little bit about how these are built? Because besides being a shaped canvas, there's also a kind of upholstery happening here too, right? As you're cutting out pieces, wrapping them in corners, reinserting them back in, right? How does this... Maybe we should start at the beginning. Do these start with drawings and then build its way up into something like this?
They do. All the work starts with a series of automatic drawing. You know, just drawing that almost is more performative than anything. There's no clear objective. It's just after you make, you know, and I think many artists might be able to attest to this, after you make for a while, you grow habits. You grow ways of holding your tool, and gestures emerge. And I like to account for that. And part of the way for accounting for that is to create a series of drawings with a material or medium that feels right for the moment, and just kind of make marks and just really like kind of try to purge and empty out that energy. And when you line those up on the wall, it becomes very obvious, at least to me, the kind of reoccurring patterns and themes. Shapes just emerge, and they just feel right, and they become challenging. And the ones that I work from are the ones that are the most peculiar to me. And then I take those and then work on more intentionally crafting a sequence of shapes. You know, it's like I want to make a series of five, sometimes I want to make 10, sometimes I want to make 8. And then I work through the mechanics of trying to figure out what that looks like. And through that process, it's when I'm starting to conceptualize how I want those objects on the wall to function. You know, are they aggressive shapes? Are they, you know, reclusive shapes? Are they shapes that need to, you know, take on an identity of confrontation, depending on some of the motivations that I might have in mind? And I just work through that through just geometry. You know, I think geometry is similar to architecture, which they're kind of the two peas in the pot in a way, have a way of demanding how we engage with them, you know? And so, yeah, I think you can make aggressive shapes versus shapes that are more invitational. And so I work through that, and I draw them out, and then I get them built as traditional strainers. And then it really gets started as a painting.
So let's talk about that process a little bit, because it's so interesting how the palette works into this, how also texture and brushstroke work into this. You know, you have these hard lines, so it really feels like these are different entities within potentially a landscape. You're creating a, you know, really complex surface here. The idea of the canvas itself, the stretchers, the setup being you know, having all these curves and seeming so, you mentioned, you know, geography and not geography, architecture and geometry sort of working hand in hand. But the geometry here is doesn't feel architectural. It feels much more organic. So to me, that seems like it would pose an even greater challenge in how you're building these, how these are being upholstered, so to speak, and how all that wrapping happens and all that fitting happens, right? There's a whole unusual technique in there that you've essentially invented, right?
Well, I mean, I won't go as far as say that I've invented it, but it's been a interesting process to figure out how to maintain the integrity of a painting upon its recognition, which is kind of the genesis of the problem solving. So, I mean, there's many ways to. I think there are many ways to get at what I'm trying to get at, but it was important to me to try to keep the recognizable variables of what a painting is intact throughout this whole process, meaning that, you know, it bears a level of familiarity that the canvas or linen is stretched around, you know, all three dimensions, that the surface feels, and, you know, familiar relative to a painting, and that the material can sit on the surface like paint. And when I took that approach, it just felt that the only way to do that was to sew in extra material in order to make all the corners, because the shapes are quite organic. And, you know, if you've ever conceived of trying to wrap something, you know, that's like a sheet of canvas around something that's not square and that has like interior angles, you run the risk of exposing the stretcher, the form that is stretched on. And so I started out very modestly, just adding in more material and trying to figure it out. And that ended in me taking these upholstery classes and kind of learning more of the trade, because all the things I was trying to do was being done in upholstery settings. And so that just opened up a whole litany of possibility. And, you know, with these paintings in the show, some of the first with full inserts, so there's voids in, let's say, the main composition. And those voids accept, you know, other shaped stretched canvases, or in some instances, shape the upholstery fabric that's been stretched over, or upholstery fabric that's been sewn in such a way to emulate painterly gestures or historical references with an abstraction like color fields and things of the nature. And that those types of juxtapositions kind of fit back into this greater, you know, sense of allegory for me in the work. I think I might have mentioned earlier about this notion of being fractured or multifaceted. And there's the attempt of trying to mislead a viewer into believing that something is maybe what it's not, in hopes that they find out over time of their, you know, experience with the work that that they misunderstood it, and so they have to reinvestigate it and understand it in a better, new way.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And to step back in all of this, and I want to dive into more specific works. This body of work and the way you're talking about working on a number of levels has shifted from previous work. I know this work you've talked about as being about the environment, challenging the environment, not the self. We talked a little earlier about the self, but are these more landscape oriented? Is that what that means to you, or our position, the kind of cultural position that we all have within a landscape? I'm just curious a little more about that.
Yeah, I think kind of both. I think from a more primary perspective, they welcome painters that I think can be more identified with recognizable paintings, so horizon lines, color associations, things that I typically in the past might have worked against very intentionally, so to try to subvert some type of limited read of a painting. And in this work, I've kind of gone the opposite direction and kind of explored what does it mean to introduce very formal and at times atmospheric and landscape-esque palettes or color dispositions into the paintings. Are they still able to remain abstract in the way that I think best suits some of the, or best reflects some of the concepts that I'm very much interested in, some of the themes that I'm interested in right now? And so there's that from more of a primary stance, but in a type of secondary and sometimes tertiary point of view, the shapes themselves become, for me, architectural and how they engage with the architecture that they're installed in. They're not windows anymore where you can look through them. They're these objects that sit on the wall. They take up a visual space that's oftentimes greater than their dimension. And there's a different type of way you maneuver yourself around them, I think, when you engage them in person at scale. And I don't quite have all the answers to what that means yet, but I'm intrigued and fascinated by it. And it's something that I haven't been able to fully address in past works. And I feel that with this work, it was almost, you know, very much close to the forefront of things I wanted to achieve. And so it's kind of paving a new, kind of a new way or new phase of thinking for me compositionally.
And there's another image, Under the Skin of Light, which feels both of what you were just saying and a little separate. We don't see a kind of horizon here as much, and a very unusual kind of palette and composition. It feels like colors are emerging from underneath, right? There's an overpainting of white, it seems, and the colors are coming through. This one feels different than the others. They're all unique, of course, but this also sure. Feels like it speaks a slightly different language.
You know, it does. I appreciate the fact that you've kind of honed in on that. I've never been the type of painter that holds myself in a certain type of pocket. You know, I mean, I'm pocket referencing like rhythmic, you know, like I'm hitting a cadence and that's the space of the exhibition. Sometimes that happens. Other times, you know, you just kind of go with where the paintings move you to a degree. And Under the Skin of Light was a painting that from the onset, I was so interested in trying to disguise these elements, or at least give the illusion that the elements that are kind of embedded in the composition were consciously trying to disguise themselves amongst their environment. And the work itself kind of reflects notions of, you know, seeing both, seeing as both a way of revealing and concealing, so not just in a singular way, that there are some of us that exist in spaces and environments and are not seen, right? And it creates a bit of a imposter phenomenon, you know what I mean? But at the same time, there are folks that try to conceal intentionally to, you know, function in various nefarious ways. And I wanted to create a piece that's set kind of on the razor's edge and would offer the opportunity to engage in, you know, feeling as if, am I concealing or am I being concealed? You know, am I being seen or am I choosing not to be seen? And the color space of that painting is a very simple, you know, primary white and black, you know, yellow, red, blue, white, that's kind of glazed over, or most of them scumbled over, this very dark kind of underpainting that peers through. And there's a ton of texture that kind of masks or works against the kind of geometry of where those inserts are pointed. And it creates a bit of a surface juxtaposition. And so it kind of sits at the at this intersection of, you know, juxtaposing colors, juxtaposing painting gestures, to try to create a very complex stalemate between those two things. And I think those two things are kind of the, oddly enough, the underpinnings of most of the exhibition. You know, when I start thinking about, you know, things that are unseen within sight, you know, kind of drawing on W.E. Du Bois's notions of double consciousness, for example, and, you know, what it means to occupy two or multiple spaces as part of, you know, how we understand who we are, you know, and how much of that is predicated on the environments that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, so interesting. I'm so glad we talked about that one. Leslie, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. For listeners, of course, the show is running until the 20th of December of this year, so follow the links, go see the show, and learn more. Leslie, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate this work and your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great, and I appreciate the discourse.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.